Christy hurled herself sideways, diving behind a padded armchair. The picture window had been reinforced, but it wasn't designed to withstand an impact like the huge, muty timber wolf. Christy had no idea where her gun was, guessing that it had to be on the floor close to the sofa. She pulled herself to her hands and knees. The massive, brindled animal stood only a yard from her. Its shoulders and coat were patterned with blood. Its eyes were like saucers of molten gold, burning into her. Her only hope was that Jack would be able to get at his own gun. His throwing knives would be of little use against an animal with such a thick pelt. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw that the window had been smashed apart, with a gaping hole at its center, cracks running from top to bottom and from corner to corner. Even as she watched, a second wolf braved the gap. Despite her fear, Christy remembered her Earth Mother training. She stood suddenly and spread her arms, her eyes never leaving the yellow orbs of the wolf.
You better leave me alone, you dumb fuck.
Mother Sonia had told her that a confident response would chase away some animals and slow any attack from the rest. That was what she'd said, but Christy had never tried it on anything like a giant timber wolf. The brute hesitated, as though its murderous mind couldn't encompass such a helpless creature trying to stand against it. Two more wolves hurled themselves into the room. Their eyes turned to the pack leader, as if they were waiting for instructions. Jack held his Colt Python in both hands, trying to decide what his primary target was. The pair of wolves that were now menacing him, or the huge leader that threatened Christy.
It's going to charge me, Jack.
The wolf was crouching. Its powerful hindquarters quivered with suppressed tension, its eyes fixed on her face. A thread of saliva dripped from its fangs. Then it leapt. The big .357 round had hit the wolf, but missed any of its vital targets. Just as it had begun its spring, the bullet had smashed into its hindquarters near the top of the left leg. The brief delay that Christy's stand had brought them was utterly crucial. It gave JP and the others time to wake up and rush downstairs. Mildred stood calm and foursquare in the doorway, aiming at the fifth animal as it came running for the house. The giant muty wolf that had left for Christy was still very much alive. It heaved itself upright, though the shattered leg made any rapid movement impossible. Christy backed slowly away from it, its looming shadow thrown ahead of it by the flickering flames. The whole pack was coming now. They filled the room with their rank stench. Jack had managed to shoot another one. However, as it died, it had fallen into the fire. Its bulk had nearly extinguished the burning logs, and the whole place was plunged into almost total darkness. There was only the filtered silver moonlight from outside. Christy had good night sight, second only to Jack. She could see the grim outline of the leader of the pack, dragging itself toward her as she backed away. Backed away until she felt her shoulders touch the corner of the room, knowing there was nowhere else to go. The giant wolf was less than a yard away from her. In the chaos, everyone was too busy with their own problems to worry about her. The corpse on the fire was already beginning to burn, filling the cooling air with smoke and the taste of roasted flesh. Christy had already decided to try to gouge out the wolf's eyes when it came at her and bite it on the ear or the muzzle, though she knew what the odds were.
Come on then, bastard!
Aid is at hand, my dear!
Doc stumbled across the room, tripping over the twitching corpse of one of the animals, holding the lama in his right hand.
Watch out, Doc!
The muty leader of the wolves had turned at the interruption, his attention wrenched away from Christy. Doc might have been a few cards short of a full deck, but he had never lacked courage. He stopped a scant yard from the creature and leveled the lama, pointing it so the railroad tunnel muzzle was inches from the angular skull. Christy was covered in the wolf's hot blood and bone fragments.
Oh, Gaia! God love you, Doc, for that!
Courage, mon ami! Le diable est mort!
What?
It means no more Mr. Wolf, little Red Riding Hare. We can all live happily ever after.
The place stank of burned meat, scorched hair, hot blood, cordite, and excrement, where a number of the animals had fouled themselves in dying. And the temperature had already dropped 20 degrees. JB went to drag the body off the fire.
How many still out there?
Mildred stepped carefully to the window. She peered through the shattered glass at the trampled winter landscape outside.
Oh, all gone.
Everyone all right? Good work, my friends. Well, we're going to leave in the morning. I think we might as well go now. Anyone object?
If they do, they better damn well keep it to themselves.
Ryan had spent a quiet night in the Palace Hotel, Leadville. He woke early with the first shafts of dawn light breaking through the jagged tears in the thin curtains. As was his usual practice in most places, Ryan hadn't undressed, contenting himself with taking off his combat boots and unbelting his pants. He rested the Steyr by the side of the window, the big Sig Sauer P226 in its habitual location, tucked under his pillow. Ryan walked into the deserted dining room of the palace. A gray rat was busily gnawing at a cooked pork chop. Another rodent was lapping at a saucer of ketchup that stood on one of the dusty tables.
I think I'll eat somewhere else.
Ryan then walked back towards the entrance of the hotel. Easing the sling of the rifle on his shoulder, he walked into the cool, fresh morning. An oil lamp already glowed outside Carl and Joanna's place. He crossed the road. As Ryan walked in, he smelled the scent of fresh-baked bread and frying bacon. Carl was by the kitchen swing door.
The best of good mornings. See? We cleared away the mess left by those cold hearts.
Yeah. Must have taken all night.
Joanna appeared from inside a walk-in closet, holding a string of sausages, smiling at Ryan.
Didn't take all night, did it? We're in bed by 4:30.
Ryan took a seat at a round table by the window. A couple of miners were the only other patrons, and they barely looked up at Ryan from their breakfast of well-done steaks with eggs, grits, and hash browns. A steaming jug of coffee stood on the checked cloth in the center of their table.
I'll have what they're having, but I'd like the steak done less well than that.
I'll just carry it very quickly through a warm room.
After only a few minutes of waiting, Carl walked out of the kitchen with Ryan's breakfast. It was piled high on the plate, the four eggs, sunny side up, glistening gold.
I put on three or four of the sausages and a few rashers of the bacon. Looked to me like a man about to hit the trail again.
Yep.
Ryan turned to Carl.
Never got around to asking you last night. I'm due to meet up with some friends. Wondered if they'd pass through here in the last day or so.
We get lots of folks through here, brother.
Oh, you wouldn't have missed them. Tall woman with the reddest hair you ever saw. Teenager with snow hair and ruby eyes. An old-timer in knee boots. And a small guy with glasses, wearing a battered fedora and carrying a shotgun and an Uzi.
Sounds like I'd know them if I'd seen them anyplace, but I don't. Any message if they pass through here in the next few days?
Yeah. I'm Ryan Carter, heading back north a ways, then cutting east over the tops, down onto the trail above Breckenridge if all goes well. Then up the pass to Fair Play. If they haven't caught up with me, I'll wait for them there.
Heard a lot of talk of trouble that way. This gang of Norms and Muties. Can you believe that? Been a load of chilling and burning. None of the miners or trappers or hunters go that way alone now. Stay together in armed groups, if they go at all.
Woman with red hair's she's my partner. She was reared up in Harmony and wants to visit again. Has been there for years.
We've seen folks from there every once in a while. Could be the gang's active that way.
I figured that. No hard news?
No. Used to be a wise woman up there years ago. Never met her. Man I saw most was the same name as me. Carl.
Carl Lanning?
Yeah, blacksmith, like his father before him. Decent kind of man, but a few nails short of a horseshoe, if you get my meaning, brother.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. To both of you. For everything. I guess I'll be hitting the trail soon.
Hold on now. I packed you a little something for the road. On the house.
Thanks.
Good luck!
Ryan walked back through Leadville, heading north for a while. The same young lad with a round, moony face was painting the gate he'd been working on the previous day, and he gave Ryan a wave and a broad smile.
Hey, I knew you, mister!
You told me how to get to the Palace Hotel.
Right, I did. Where are you heading now, mister? Nothing that way but snow and mountains. S-U-N spells snow!
Uh-huh. You have a good day now.
Another wave of the hand, and Ryan walked on, past a ruined building, reaching the point where the highway forked. It was a lovely morning, bright and crisp. A recently erected wooden sign pointed left to Red Cliff and the interstate, right to Climax and the pass east. As he turned right, he held the details of the map firmly in his head. He knew that he would soon have to strike off right towards the east and hope to find his way into the next valley across. That would then bring him up to fair play. When his legs got tired, he stopped and sat on a ridge of bare rock, enjoying the warmth of the sun. In the pouch Joanna had packed him, Bryant found a couple of crusty new-baked rolls filled with egg, salted beef, and tomato, a thick slice of some deliciously moist walnut bread, and some small peaches, with a flask of fresh milk. Ryan chose one of the rolls. He admired the beauty of the mountains that circled him. It had been easy walking, despite the elevation of 11,000 feet. A large crow perched on a rock a few paces away from him. It watched the man with its head on one side, yellow beak ajar, button-bright eyes staring intently at him. Ryan broke off a corner of one of the rolls and flicked it underhanded at the bird, which hopped sideways and effortlessly caught it. Ryan encountered a fair amount of snow as he plodded on, finding it harder going. A dusting lay over everything, including the narrow winding trail, as well as larger and deeper pockets in the shadows where the sun never shone. He kept checking the trail, trying to see whether Christy and the others might have looped around him, possibly avoiding Leadville in the night. But it had rained within the past 24 hours, and it had been heavy enough to wash away anything except deep wag ruts from the highway. He walked on through the afternoon, feeling relief as he crossed the highest point of the ridge and began to descend slowly, with the valley that was his destination opening before him like a magnificent flower. There was no sign of life anywhere around him, except for the marmots and the birds. The sun was already out of sight behind him when he smelled the bitterness of smoke. The sun was creeping behind the mountains that lay to the west as the companions entered the outskirts of Leadville. The township seemed deserted, except for a tall, chubby teenager who was painting the hinges of a big five-barred gate.
Hi there, strangers!
Hi.
Christy walked up to the boy.
You wouldn't have seen a tall man with one eye passing this way, would you?
She covered her left eye with her hand to try to show the soft-faced boy what she meant.
Lord, yes, one eye, lady!
When did you see him?
Nah, I don't remember days and times and months all that good, but I think it was the same day we got now. He spoke to me real kind. Went off that way.
He pointed behind them.
Real kind? Doesn't sound much like Ryan.
Tall, with black hair, carrying a rifle over his shoulder, and one eye?
Uh-huh. Sure as sunshine, it was him.
Christy patted the boy on the arm, and he blushed deep crimson with delight.
Thanks a bunch. You've been really helpful to us.